Good afternoon, Carborough and Chapel Hill. This is Wilps, formerly Wilps Wake Up Call, but we are now at a new time slot, as you may have noticed, from 5 to 6 every Wednesday instead of Friday mornings. And we have a contest because we would like you, our listeners, to help us with a catchy new name. We were Wilps Wake Up Call, and now that we're on to the afternoon, you figure it out and help us out. You can call me at home. I'm your host, Lori Hoyt, and WILF is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And you may call me at my home, 919-968-1888. And Dick Paddock, our engineer, is reminding me to tell you to please get out your pencil and paper, because we always give you ways to get more information about whatever our topic is of the day. We have one of our WILF sisters with us, Miriam Thompson.
And hello, everyone.
Here she, that's Miriam. And our guest today is Odessa Davis. And Odessa is a UNC housekeeper, and WILF and the housekeepers and some other community people have been working on some very critical issues of justice and fairness and dignity for the housekeepers. So welcome to our radio show.
Thank you.
We're glad you're here, and we're expecting maybe a few other housekeepers to come.
Yes, we are.
A little bit later. Okay, Miriam, I'm going to let you start. You had some pretty good questions to get us started with.
We have just started the UNC Housekeeper Justice Campaign. Is that right?
Yes.
We're going to actually add the word solidarity because listeners may remember that a few weeks ago we gave... we had a broadcast that gave kind of the history, which Odessa will give us, of the housekeeper struggle. And the first thing we want to say is that this is a long time struggle.
Right.
That workers at UNC, including cafeteria workers and housekeepers, have really suffered indignities for decades.
Right.
So this whole culture has to change. But the housekeepers in particular won a very important lawsuit in 1995, but with a new administration and one after the other, the agreements that were reached, which gave dignity to the workers, have been violated. So we're going to really take that agreement and bring it to the public eye and find out why this chancellor is not honoring an agreement that was settled 15 years ago.
Right.
So we now want to, that's a little background. Maybe Odessa, you can start talking about what you do, what we did today, what the grievance, the current set of grievances are.
Oh, the grievances are that we went to the chancellor today about our break, about our break. Not a break, but a rest.
Right.
And we marched to the chancellor, and we demand that he look into these grievances, and we demand that he give us an answer by, was that Friday?
Monday.
Next Monday, the 13th. Is that right? Correct, uh-huh. 13th.
At 3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock. And I'm one of the housekeepers that have been sent home about the rest period. And I went home a week without pay, but they rescinded it, and I got my week back. But it's still a struggle because if they catch anyone sitting on a rest break, it's still that they have to go home a week without pay. So it's a struggle, and we're trying to get that policy dropped.
And can I come in here, just for our listeners to be clear, the university does have a policy that there is officially, you can take what they call a break at your either half hour or hour lunchtime.
Yes.
And then for every 4 hours, you get a 15-minute break.
Yes.
Now, what's making this where it's hard to have one blanket policy is for 90% or maybe 95% of the workers at UNC, most of their jobs entail sitting, or at least for a great portion of their time.
Mm-hmm.
And as one member of the employees forum, when this just came up last week, said, you know, we're sitting all day, so when we get our break, we're glad to get up and stretch and move around a little bit.
Right.
The difference for the housekeepers is that they are on their feet for all of their work.
Right.
And so when they get a break, they can sit down, they can have their lunch, but a lot of times you have to rush off somewhere to have it. But the question came up, and I really think it started with somebody cleaning a stove with a lot of chemical fumes.
And I'm one of the housekeepers that was cleaning the stove. We clean when the students go home during the summer.
Yes.
Well, the summer job calls for us to clean ovens, refrigerator,
wow,
and, you know, stoves, and the fumes from the chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you breathe it in, it just goes, and I'm asthmatic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was spraying my stove, and all of a sudden I got an attack that I had to use my inhaler. So when I used my inhaler, I coughed, and then I had to use it so I could get myself together.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I was getting, because the medicine that I take from my inhaler, it makes me kind of woozy,
mm-hmm,
and I have to sit down for a while. So I sit down for a while for a rest. And so my manager came and she said it was an unauthorized break.
An unauthorized break.
Right.
Not just a rest from having inhaled chemical fumes.
No, it's an unauthorized break.
And this is how this current round started with the university. Every few years we have to go back and knock their heads together a little bit to what's just here.
Right.
It's important to add that they didn't rescind this policy or restore the money that was taken out of your pay. In other words, you were actually suspended. You were sent home.
Yes.
And people should know that this is a conduct, not a performance violation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you can be suspended without pay, mm-hmm, and then dismissed.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is
lose
very,
your job.
As one of your colleagues in the employee forum said, this is a really harsh treatment. But it's an example. It isn't only the rest. You know, it just makes housekeepers what one of us called infantilize.
Right.
Can you imagine having to call a supervisor when you want to take a moment's rest or when you have to go to the bathroom?
Well, that's what they said at the forum, that they should ask their supervisor before they sit down.
That's right. Even a rest.
Even a rest.
And a rest for a minute or two, they have to call their supervisor. I mean, housekeepers know what their official break is. But as Odessa had to just take a break to take an inhalant, and someone happened to catch her.
Mm-hmm.
Someone happened to
walk
by.
Walk into the room.
Right, happened to walk by and, you know, then penalized. But what I did want to say was that housekeepers have reached out, and we'll mention this. That's why Lori said, please get a pen and paper. But they reached out to parents and students,
yes,
who were coming in the week before school started with a petition urging them to get the chancellor to communicate the housekeeper the appreciation we all feel for their work.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dick had a great question for you after I'm finished. To sit down with the housekeeper representative so they really know what goes on in the housekeeping department, and to change the management practices that deny the employees the dignity they deserve. And
mm-hmm,
at some point we should talk about the horrific article that in the Tar Heel. But
mm-hmm,
Dick had asked, or you want to ask, what?
Yeah, my question was pretty straightforward, and that is, suppose that a housekeeper can't perform work and isn't there for whatever reason for a day or two. What happens as compared with, suppose, the chancellor is not around for a day or two?
Mm-hmm.
When does the university begin to start falling apart?
That's true. That's true.
I think people should know what the housekeepers do.
What you do, and Odessa, how long have you worked for the university?
14 years.
14 years.
Oh.
Okay. So this is, you have a track record of being a good worker, or you wouldn't be there for 14 years.
I wouldn't have been there for 14 years.
Yes, and I think that's important for people to understand.
Yes.
That most of these housekeepers have been here for many, many years.
Many
are
years.
Experienced. Okay, I just wanted to get that on.
But Dick, as Dick said, the campus would fall apart.
Exactly.
So the housekeepers clean. What are all their responsibilities? They clean?
We clean dormitories. We clean the kids' rooms after they leave to go home on spring. We clean up some rooms on spring break when they go home, and then summer break when they go home. And then we buff We vacuum. We do all bathroom. We do everything. They said it's not just a man job. It's a woman's job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have to do whatever men do, we have to do.
Mm-hmm. Including carrying, one sister was carrying heavy equipment.
Mm-hmm. In some buildings, we don't have elevators, so they have to carry their equipment upstairs with, like, the buffer. And the buffer is pretty heavy. And some, you have to get, if a man isn't around, and it's just women's, you have to go call one of them to come and help them take the buffer upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're sick, it's some women's that there, some have diabetes, high blood pressure, or and then if they get sick, you know, somebody have to come and help. If nobody there, they just have to help them just carry their carry the weight on upstairs.
Mm-hmm. So. And these are industrial size buffers.
Right.
I bet they must weigh 50, 70.
So it's the dorms they clean, and they clean the offices.
Yes, offices,
classrooms,
all over the dorms, all over campus. We have to clean some. We have night shift that cleans offices, but we clean dormitories, and that's just every day we have to clean. But since they said the budget cut, we don't have as many housekeepers that we had years ago. So now it's kind of downsized that we have to do two people work or three people work for the price of one.
For the same pay. Right.
And in these harsh economic times, people are afraid of losing their job. It's pretty scary out there. So they are piling on more and more work with fewer workers.
Yes, with fewer workers.
That's right. We had our own, Odessa was one of the leaders of today's, we had our own Labor Day. You know, this is we're celebrating Labor Day, Labor Week. Labor Day should be every day. But these are our local workers, and it's important, and I want to give the number now. It's important that everyone communicate to the chancellor that these workers need to be treated with respect, with dignity. He needs to listen to them to understand what they really do. He needs to change a management culture. We'll get there in a minute. That is quoted in the August 31st edition of the Tar Heel, a supervisor who was working for the Army, and this is what she said. She her unit was taking heavy gunfire, and we certainly want to recognize someone who's, you know, been supporting their country.
Mm-hmm.
But she said to one soldier whose ideal of war had to be from video games, and he froze in battle and he began to cry. I smacked him around and told him he needed to get his I'll have to say it on radio. Together. Who occasionally accompanied ground forces as a first class petty officer. Since arriving at UNC, she said she has attempted to slap sense into a housekeeping force that she said was lacking in professionalism and consistency. So I'm looking at Sister Odessa, who's been here for 14 years. She and her colleagues, most of whom women and women of color, we need to add, and they've been keeping this university clean and safe and healthy and being treated with this like they're in the military.
Yes.
And even in the military shouldn't be treated that way. So this is what blew everything up, the article in the Tar Heel and how outraged are. But I did want to just mention, Lori, that the Chancellor Holden Thorpe, email Holden, H-O-L-D-E-N, at unc.edu, his fax number, and we'll keep repeating it, 919-962-1647, or call his office, better yet, 919-962-1365. Again, Holden at unc.edu. And this is being spread around campus with students. Parents have signed petitions thanking the housekeepers and demanding that the chancellor treat them with respect. And now faculty's getting involved, and we're trying to reach the community. I should tell you that one of our important, beside Wilf, supporters is the NAACP Chapel Hill Carrboro branch, its labor committee, as well as the labor committee of WILF. So we have already introduced the housekeepers to Reverend William Barber, who's leading a whole crusade for jobs and justice for workers in Washington on October 2nd.
Yeah, and that we do want to, before we go off the air, maybe tell a little bit more about October 2nd, too, so people will start getting that on their calendar. So, and Reverend Barber did speak last night. I had to miss him. I had a church meeting, but
at Binkley, right?
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. So I hear he was
very nice.
Yeah, very inspiring. So he's an important spiritual force to have at your back there.
Oh yes, very important. He's a very important.
Yeah, so
and he's committed.
He
is committed.
Oh, yes.
So
yeah.
It is not only the housekeepers that are demanding change from the chancellor. We're going to bring in community leaders to really tell the chancellor that this very important workforce, the lowest paid, and who suffer the worst conditions on campus, need to be treated with the same dignity that the chancellor's treated. That, you know, that workers deserve to be valued just like the chancellor and other senior administrators.
Well, you know, we keep hoping and want to believe that we live in a democracy, which means we may be, do different things, but we all have value under the law, and our innate dignity and worth. And it just makes me sad. I am an alumni of this university. I love this university. Both my undergraduate and my graduate degree in social work are from this university. And a couple of my kids have graduated from this university. So we have ties that matter to us. And at the same time, back when I was in school, the cafeteria workers were out on strike. That was around 1970 or something. And, you know, it seems to me that every few years, the lowest paid workers, that somehow this great university can't seem to shed itself of its slavery past and its plantation attitude. And it really sorrows me to have to say that. But I can't understand any other reason why we're having this struggle yet again in this beginning of this new century. And let's hope that we can be powerful enough and we're moving fast enough and with enough community support in the university community that we can get this university back on the track of justice that it should be a beacon to this state.
I just think it's important, you speak to it, Odessa, that we're not just talking about one supervisor who was quoted in the Tar Heel.
No.
What was important at the employee forum meeting, I think last week, employee forum represents all, since we should talk about this, since remember, public workers don't have collective bargaining because of a 1958 Jim Crow law that we're trying to repeal at the same time we're working with the housekeepers and the municipal workers to have justice in the workplace. But it's also Van Dobson.
Oh, yes. That's
the head of facilities.
And head of
facility services. Mm-hmm. And who's the head of housekeeping?
Bill Burstyn.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the Tanya Sell, or whoever supervises.
She's assistant.
Assistant director
of housekeeping.
But it's not just her. It's you've talked about the whole
management team.
Right. And why they're pressing the chancellor that he really has to review all of management.
Right.
Because it was asked at the employee forum.
That's right.
Why is no one has an interview in the paper without the knowledge and consent of their higher-ups. So Dobson knew what was in the article, or should, and so did Burstyn. And grievances have been going on. It's not just the rest. They also try to impose the forced overtime.
Oh, yeah, it was forced overtime. First it wasn't forced. It was just coming in. You volunteered to come in. But then after this article about rest, then it came up that it was demanded that we come in.
Mandatory
that we come in to work. But then on down the line they said, no, we'll ask you to work. We asked you, would you like to work overtime? But before that it was mandatory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So now that they put it, said, no, we asked you. And I'm going to ask you. She called on the phone. My zone manager called on the phone and said, Odessa, I'm asking you, would you like to work overtime? if you call me back, that mean yeah. If you don't call me back, that mean a no. So I didn't call back because I wasn't mandatory. It was mandatory to work that.
It was, yeah.
It was voluntary.
Yeah. This was a week before students came
right,
in.
Right, a week before students
But
came.
You said something else. The housekeepers asked to be, to suggest mm-hmm. how the summer hours might have been managed more efficiently so you wouldn't have had to have forced overtime.
Yes, because we was working, and if they would have let us, we would have volunteered to go out and do the work. But then they had us, we do this building, and then we had to all do the buildings. But then most of them was at work. We had temps. They had temps.
Uh-huh.
And the year before that, that's what they hired the temps for, to come in and do the work that we didn't do. So they come in, but then we didn't have no temps. So they said we could hire the temps.
And again, this is putting more work on the
people. Yes, more mm-hmm. work on housekeepers.
But they would have, if they had been listened to, what you're telling me, they could have... had ideas of how to better manage
right.
the summer hours so they didn't have to face
yes.
mandatory overtime
right.
one
mandatory
week before
overtime.
The students
right.
arrived. So, I mean, it was management's issue, but they didn't. That's the other thing,
mm-hmm.
conversation with
mm-hmm.
workers, because they're better managers than the managers.
Oh, yeah.
They've
well,
done all this work.
Well,
yes.
instead, you know, this is from the bottom up. The people who are doing the work in the best managed companies, mm-hmm. there is communication going both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So that the workers who are doing the actual hands-on often have the best suggestions for having that work go the most expeditiously.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just top-down, and the top doesn't even have that kind of competence, and
mm-hmm.
I must say I am just thunderstruck at the incompetence of a lot of the managers at UNC. And
oh, yeah.
at the employees forum, this was right after the controversial article came
mm-hmm.
out about those remarks by that one manager, most of the employees there, and there's a representative from every department, were appalled. And I'm sure every one of them thought, if this can happen to the housekeepers, it can happen to us.
Yes.
And they kept confronting Van Dobson, the head of facilities, and he
facility
was getting
services,
very defensive.
Right. Yes.
But he talked out of both sides of his mouth. And at one point, do you remember, Dessa or Miriam, that he said, oh, well, of course, if somebody has to go to the bathroom or to get a drink, of course it's okay then later
mm-hmm.
on. But if you have to do anything that's not in the break time, you should ask your supervisor.
And then he was, and then he returned, then he changed his tune
then he was
and said, if you have to go to the bathroom, you have to contact a supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody asked, can you imagine the inefficient
See?
Time you spend
mm-hmm.
trying
calling.
To call a supervisor just to go to the bathroom mm-hmm. or to take a moment to, you know, sit down because your feet are tired mm-hmm. and you've carried all this equipment and
up the
I
stair.
Mean, every time mm-hmm. you pick up that phone, that's unproductive work,
mm-hmm.
not to mention the disrespect of the housekeeper who has to ask to go to a bathroom, you know, to take a bathroom break. I
mm-hmm.
mean, it's just, and that's what one of the employees said.
Yes.
You know, everything, it should be based on performance. He said,
mm-hmm.
performance-based. We're all judged by our performance. Faculty are based, you know, they're evaluated based
mm-hmm.
on performance. Students evaluated based on performance and so on. So why not do that to the important women that mostly women that keep this, you know, this campus running? By the way, this was the most fascinating thing to me. Because we started charging discrimination, that this policy, no sit down, meaning no rest stop, was only applied to the housekeepers, what did they do? They applied it now so that it's
all over campus now.
All of the facilities workers.
Right.
The only problem to Van Dobson, who's the head of facility services, mm-hmm. is that no other workers stand on their feet all day. Facilities workers drive around in carts.
In
it's
trucks.
Wonderful. They work hard
mm-hmm.
in trucks,
yeah.
but they're able to take a break right. as they mm-hmm. go from one assignment to another.
Exactly.
So not the housekeepers. The other thing, Odessa, tell us about what really got us so furious is that the housekeepers, when they take the official break, which is in policy, you know, state personnel policy, they cannot take a break in the very rooms or lounges or student student areas that they clean. Mm-hmm. Tell us about
that. Yes, we cannot take breaks in our student area where we clean. So if we're in there and they come in, we just have to leave out. Or even if we clean it, and then we're cleaning sometimes, they have to come in, and we just can't say, hey, how you doing? But we have to leave out and let them have the lounge. So that's the policy that they had before. You cannot, that's the policy that our assistant manager said, no in the break rooms, no matter what. We can't go in the break rooms unless we clean it. And when we clean, we have to leave out.
And so this policy is like so that you do not have any a relationship or contact with the students. Although as parents were coming in, because this was all breaking just as the students were coming back, mm-hmm. Miriam and I, handing out flyers, talked to some of the mm-hmm. parents, and they wanted the housekeepers, because they thought, we need to have some adults around there.
Oh, yes.
That it helps keep things in a courteous level,
yes.
You know.
And safe. They know that there are adults.
Safe. There's mature adults keeping an eye on things.
Yes, I love my students. I love every one of them, because it makes me feel good to go in the morning and they say, hi, Miss Odessa, how are you doing? I might be down. I might be feeling low. And then they come in and they say, hi, Miss Odessa, how you doing? Oh, that just perks me up because I love them.
Yeah.
I let them just like my kids. And I have children, grown kids.
Yeah.
And when they come in, they just see me. They say, oh, you here this year? Oh, it makes me so, because I adore students, because that keeps me going if I'm down.
That's what makes the work worthwhile. That's
but if you're cleaning like the student lounge, you cannot take a break. After you've cleaned it, you can't take a break with the very students whose facilities you're cleaning, I think.
And remember one of the sisters told us how she got voted for something from the...
Yes, Pam. She got the Chancellor Award, and because the students love her, and they gave her the Chancellor Award, and she deserved it.
They immediately transferred her.
Did they transfer her?
Yes, they transferred her
out of there. Yes.
Too close to the students. They transferred her to another...
Okay, we're going to take a station break. Oh, this just chokes me up when I think of this. We're going to take a station break, and we are very proud and happy to let our listeners know that we are underwritten by Internationalist Bookstore, 405 West Franklin Street. And the Internationalist Bookstore is also, like our radio station, run by volunteers. It is not a big box store, but it's also a community resource place. So you can go in there and find out all the progressive things that are happening around town. And if you want to go online to find out, go to internationalistbookstore.org. And by the way, if you're having any trouble with your static or getting our radio station in, because we are a low-power station, you can stream us live at WCOMFM.org. And this is Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and I'm glad you got your pencil ready, because you can go to our website and find out a lot more about us, trianglewilp.org. And remember, with WILP, it's WILPF, Peace and Freedom. Thank you very much, and back to Miriam and Odessa and Dick.
Did you get the website for streaming? WCOMFM.org?
I just gave it.
Okay.
I just gave it.
But you can repeat it.
He just did.
Okay. I also, because we're building community support, if you want more information, you can go to the WILF website, or you can use Lori's number, 968-1888. Mm-hmm. That serves as WILF's number as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can also call me at 370-4114.
Miriam Thompson.
That's all local. Miriam Thompson, 370-4114. Lori, 968-1888. But also today. Tomorrow, please call
the Chancellor.
The Chancellor, 962-1365, or email holden@unc.edu in support of the housekeepers' demands to end the violence in the workplace, the hostile work environment that they now have to endure. We need to change the management of
And the management culture and the management. And this came up at the employees forum about, you know, did the managers get any training? Because UNC, unfortunately, is developing a reputation for having some of the worst managers around here. You know, they just do not seem to have any expertise in managing besides threats and intimidation. He assured Van Dobson, the head of facilities, assured us that they did, but it seemed like it was large group. They come in for 100 people. I was very dissatisfied with his answer, and even if the answer sounded better, obviously they need some whole new method of training their managers. They're not professional. In that article, she was saying the housekeepers weren't professional, and I would be the first to dispute that, getting to know the housekeepers personally. But certainly the management is not professional. They say one thing, they change it, they say another thing, and they do the most incompetent things. Can you imagine all the work hours that are being taken up with this whole furor with how they're treating the housekeepers? That should not have happened. You should have been treated with dignity and fairness.
That's why I think the housekeepers are demanding a workers' bill of rights.
Yeah.
There needs to be a body of protection and rights that no one can, not the chancellor, not any succeeding chancellor, not anyone in the administration can ignore, and they need to honor. Mm-hmm. And there was such a settlement, but now we need to take that settlement and really build it into a Bill of Rights that protects the housekeepers. I just wanted to add, Odessa, if you can, just to show the kind of hostile work environment, and we mentioned the supervisor who compared what she had to do with the housekeepers to slapping around this poor frozen soldier who was terrified of what he was seeing in war in Iraq. And they just published a boot camp.
Oh.
A boot camp manual for cleaning workers. You have to see this cover. And when we finally get
our teaching
radio
cleaning
show on Channel 8, boot camp for cleaning workers. The cover has a caricature, a cartoon of a soldier who is cleaning probably the barracks or something, mm-hmm. comparing them to, this is the cover they put on a housekeeper training manual. And it's just all part of what Lori was talking about, sort of militarizing and not respecting the dignity of the housekeepers. I just wanted to review for people that a group of housekeepers today filed a grievance.
Yes, a group of us housekeepers, we filed a grievance and took it to the chancellor and demanding, like I said a little earlier, and that we want an answer, and we want him to give us that answer as soon as possible, no later than
3 p.m. on
3 p.m. Monday.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, long overdue, these grievances.
And yes.
This is a grievance against a hostile work environment that was captured in the Tar Heel article, but it exists in fact. I mean, it wasn't just an article. It exists in fact.
Yes.
So we all were at Peace and Justice Plaza, and then we walked over with great chance to the chancellor's office and a delegation, including Odessa.
Mm-hmm. And I think we had about 30 or 40 people, people.
So they dropped off the formal grievance to Human Resources and then came, and we all marched together to the chancellor's office with copies of the grievance.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the letter?
Oh.
This thing?
Yes.
Oh, this is, by the way, our Justice Coalition, as Lori said earlier, includes United Electrical Workers 150, the North Carolina Public Service Workers Union, Chapel Hill Garbrough NAACP Labor Committee, UNC Chapel Hill Student Action with Workers, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, Wilf. We also didn't
mention... Elders for Peace were also
Elders
there.
For Peace were there.
And student groups.
Progressive Democrats. Oh, yes. The Black Student Movement and the campus NAACP have all been incredible supports. And the student... what do they call this? The Student Action with Workers.
Yeah. So we had a marvelous... diverse coalition. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been building, just in the last couple of weeks when this all came to a head, have been building real strong university and community support. So Odessa, the housekeepers are not alone.
Thank you.
We're in solidarity. We're there with you and happily
Thank you.
Can you tell us what else we can be doing and, you know, to be supportive?
Well, we just have to keep it going. If we let it die down, we just got to keep it going, and maybe we'll get a response from Hope Thorpe. And then when that, we can just keep it going until we get some of what we want.
Yeah. Can you tell me, there was just grievances that you have filed in the past that received little attention or no attention or just were ignored? Because this is not the hostile work environment is not the first grievance that you have filed. So I just wondered what some of the other grievances housekeepers were bringing to the head of the housekeeping or to Dobson or supervisors.
Most of our grievance is housekeeping. It's about 100 and some grievance that housekeeping, just only housekeeping. We the only one got the most grievance that is.
Really?
Yes, around campus. We the only one got that many grievance because it's not around campus. And if you're telling me that we don't have a problem in housekeeping, we do. We do.
Yeah, I just wanted to make it clear that the blow up over the what they like to call a break, but was really just a rest. The blow up over the mandatory work time. The blow up over a consistent effort to separate housekeepers from the very young people that they're there to protect and who help them keep a safe and healthy dorm and who keep offices healthy and clean. But especially the students, that really hurt students when, they can't, the very people that they relate to, they can't talk to, they can't talk together. It's a deliberate effort to separate them. We said before that one of the housekeepers actually was transferred because she was getting too friendly.
Popular. Too popular.
Too popular.
Yes.
Was she the same one who got the award?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things the community is thinking about, I wanted to share with you. We're sort of strategizing on the radio. But in October, I was reminded that UNC is going to have an Employee Recognition Day. And I don't remember the date, but you can be sure that we're going to be inviting community to come to that Employee Recognition Day in which we're going to highlight the important work of our housekeepers. And if the chancellor hasn't answered by Monday, he will certainly be asked to answer on Employee Recognition Day as to why he's not stepping in and changing the management culture that continues to... And engage all these grievances. I mean, something has to happen. Somebody has to say something about managers that have more grievances from their workers than anybody else on campus.
Yes.
And they're not stepping up to the plate.
No, they're not.
And Odessa, you're not just a housekeeper. I just want, and with radio, it's a little harder to do, but you mentioned that you've grown children. How many children do you have?
Yes, I have four grown children.
Four grown children?
Yes, and I have a son. He's just turned 16.
Oh, boy.
So he's
in high school.
And he's in high school.
And he's a work and a half.
Yes, he is. He's a handful.
So you have a large family.
Oh, yes, and I have grandkids.
Ooh,
I have 11 grandkids.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Odessa. You beat me.
Yes.
Well,
oh, my God, Odessa.
So you're taking care of the whole campus, and you're taking care of grandchildren.
She's got a mother. She's a grandmother.
Yeah. Yes, the whole caboodle.
So she's a woman, a mother, a grandmother, a worker, right. many hats, Odessa.
Yes,
many hats, and when the university gives you half a chance, you can have them thrown up in the air and juggle them all just fine.
Yes, that's right. And I have all the kids at campus. They're my kids.
And the campus kids.
Yes,
that's right.
Campus.
A really big family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We wanted to go back. I think you had wanted to, since we had mentioned earlier that this was a decades of struggle, and that 15 years ago there was a lawsuit, and I think you have a little information with you. Al McShirley, our favorite civil rights lawyer, I think in one of his many times sued the university for the housekeepers, I believe. And I don't have the paper in front of me, but Miriam's looking for it. And
he filed a lawsuit under state personnel procedures.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the housekeepers have had a study was done in 2000. It probably ought to be done again.
Mm-hmm.
Study was done, the Department of Public Health, as part of the follow-up to that suit, where a study team from the School of Public Health, in connection with the housekeeper's settlement agreement, which after the lawsuit in 1995, and it called for the university to sponsor a study, we need to do that again, conducted by faculty from the School of Public Health, and made recommendations as to how the, you need to be protected. There need to be safer conditions. Mm-hmm. Each university employee should be able to work in an environment that is constructive, safe, and respectful. The accompanying response summarizes actions that have been taken, that are currently underway. So we're going to revive, we're going to look at some of the actions that were approved as part of the settlement, and we're going to demand that those actions and recommendations be reopened. But the School of Public Health documented the conditions under which the housekeepers have been working, and 10 years later, the same conditions exist.
Mm-hmm.
This was a description of the initiatives. Oh, this was Chancellor Hooker.
Mm-hmm.
And after the settlement, as part of the lawsuit, to improve the employment conditions and benefits, housekeepers and the university's other lowest paid employees. So this was a major.
Now,
a
this
major
was 10 semi- years ago?
This was 15. The
okay,
lawsuit
but
was
the pub- because think about the changes that have been made in our consciousness regarding chemicals, and how much we have learned that chemicals that we had been told were safe, now we're told are not safe.
Mm-hmm.
Every day there's new information coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So you all do, especially with cleaning a stove is one of the worst things I can, having cleaned many a stove in my life, that is a very chemical laden job to do. And even, I don't know what kind of chemicals you use for cleaning tubs and sinks and everything, but we're more and more finding out that a lot of them are not as safe as as was previously thought.
Yeah.
So I think that's another thing we've really got to add to our list, Odessa and Miriam, is an update from the School of Public Health about what chemicals you are using now in the light of the information we have in 2010 that we did not have 15 years ago.
Right, that's right.
You know, you said you have an asthma condition. Mm-hmm. Working with those chemicals, I'm not surprised, frankly.
Yes.
So I don't know if you felt
the. I just wanted to say the salary. There were salary increases.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, were you around? I mean, you were what, making like $11,000?
Or yes,
I mean, it was appalling.
Yes, and they brought it up for one that was hired. Everybody was. That they bring them up to 25.
And now?
It's still 25. We don't get it. It's still 25.
So years it's been leveled at this rate. And then they also agreed restructuring the housekeeping department.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So now 15 years later, we need to do it again.
Well,
this was signed in 1996. The chancellor was... Michael Hooker. And he said, when I came to Carolina last year, this is what we want Holden Thorpe to pledge. I pledge to address employment conditions on campus, especially for the lowest employees, lowest paid employees, including housekeepers. And then he proceeds to indicate the steps that he's taken, including the public health, you know, and getting this study to look at the health conditions, to creating new training opportunities, to raising the salaries. So this is the kind of intervention that we really need from the current chancellor, who likes to present himself as progressive and going to honor workers
and so on. We're going to be very positive and hope and pray that he is.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know? And then put pressure to make sure that he is.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll hope, pray, and act.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Both pray and act.
Yes, yes.
I wanted to talk. I don't know. How much time do we have?
We have quite a bit of time.
Okay.
15 minutes.
I wanted to talk about, and Odessa met Reverend Barber yesterday. There's a very, as we're working locally, we're also working nationally. And on October 2nd, it's called One Nation Working Together.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be taking buses out of Chapel Hill Carborough to go up to Washington, D.C.
And it's
nationwide. And it's labor. It is really the exciting revival of the great civil rights partners, including the NAACP and other civil rights organizations, labor unions, faith-based organizations, women's groups, gay and lesbian groups, youth groups. So it's just bringing voices together that are going to challenge the kind of hate-driven dialogue that we're, not dialogue, but hate-driven actions, like burning the Quran this Saturday,
oh,
and you might want to talk about that. There are efforts underway in various churches, both Sunday sermons and Saturday events, to challenge this attack on religious freedom and respect for our faith neighbors. So that certainly will be highlighted on the October 2nd 10. But it's taking the housekeeper struggle, which Reverend Barber will bring, because it's about jobs and it's about worker justice. You know, not only giving people jobs and not jobs where you're doing, and the same thing is happening, by the way, in the municipal, you know, they're not hiring people, and they're making the workers there do two jobs.
This is happening
all over the country.
And this squeezing of the worker to get more and more. And there's even been now on the Jim Lehrer NewsHour and things talk about the stresses are mounting up for workers, and it's a time that we just try to say, you know, enough is enough. And you can squeeze just so much, and then after a while, it affects everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
If you have, you can get on the website, the NAACP.org, or you probably can get on the AFL-CIO.org website, and you'll get more information about October 2nd. We are going to have buses from Chapel Hill Carborough, so it'll be on the WILF website. You can use our numbers, Lori and my number, to get more information.
And it'll be all in one day, so you can go, which I think people have been going to protest will be familiar with. You leave about 4 or 5 in the morning, you get there mid-morning, and then around 5 or 6 you get on your bus and you get home, so it's all in one day, and it's exciting. You know, you're part of history, and that always gives one a really good feeling. So.
And bring children. I think children have to see, you know, the grown-ups and how they're really
not too
fighting
little,
for, yeah, not too little. Well, actually, the little ones are easier sometimes than the bigger ones. You sort of carry them on the shoulder or in carriages. But it's really important that we put out a voice for justice. We've just heard too much, you know, hate filling the airwaves. And this is an opportunity. We hope to bring a message of what the election was all about, what President Obama is trying to do.
And that's what he keeps saying, you know, make me do it, be at my back. And he's certainly getting, you know, so much harsh stuff. And I think this can be a real boost for the president if we show up in enough numbers, can give him that boost and be at his back, that he can step forward more courageously as we hope he will. Hope and pray. He's starting to talk more about.
Yeah, more about jobs, more about economic recovery, so on. So that's what it's all going to be about. It's really changing the economic climate in this country so that everybody has a chance to work.
That's just sort of the parallel between us going to the upper echelons of the university and to the upper echelons of the country.
That's right.
Power never gives anything from the top down. You've got to push from the bottom up. And that's the only time you get anywhere, you know? Even with, if it's a very nice chancellor and even with a very nice president, we got to push.
Right. Well, they're only nice if they come out and do something.
Yes, and they need that push.
So this is now with our letter we're asking him. And we plan, by the way, on Monday the 13th, we're asking a response to not only to the article, but what's been happening to housekeepers and the grievances, as we said, that continue to pile up without satisfactory conclusion. So it's Monday at...
At 3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock, we're going to be there to get his response, and then if we don't get a response, we'll be back. Some of us are talking about candlelight vigils, you know, just to keep on his back that as head of this university, he's got to make a statement about the workers.
Also, I just think we should make clear that while we're doing this, our emphasis is on the housekeepers because this is where the struggle started. We are doing this for all UNC workers, because the UNC workers have got to stand by the housekeepers. We all got to stand together. And we're fighting for essentially a workers' bill of rights, because why the housekeepers are getting the worst brunt of it, other workers in the university are also hurting and being squeezed. And I think the more that, like they did in the employees' forum, recognize this could be me. Me too, you know, and they really confronted Van Dobson strongly in favor of the housekeepers and in outrage over how the housekeepers were being treated. I think the more we can get across, this is for all the workers. All workers need a Bill of Rights. They need to be treated with dignity and fairness and not to be squeezed so hard that their mental and physical health is impaired.
You work with the lowest. You correct the abuses. And give respect to the lowest paid, you will advance
all of them.
All workers.
But we got to get that across to everybody that they come
That's out why the housekeeper struggle is so important.
It's so important.
Because they really speak to worker justice, and they are the most visible and I think have a very powerful message. Dick reminded me that we need to just make, not only do we have local, but we also, and we have national, but Reverend Barber and others and labor, the same local partners have been struggling. This is historic Thousands on Jones Street. Many of our listeners know HK on J, which have been fighting for workers' rights, education, equity, fighting the Wake County School Board's effort to resegregate. But the one thing that they are going to focus on when the legislature convenes, so not only should you call Holden Thorpe, but you should also call your legislators, and especially Joe Hackney, and fight for the repeal of the Jim Crow Law 95-98, because one of the struggles of the housekeepers is to develop the power, not only the workers' bill of rights, but the power to affect a workers' bill of rights, and they don't have the right to collectively bargain. The employee forum is kind of a substitute, and I must commend the housekeepers, because the employee forum members would not have been as supportive if it wasn't for the diligent work of the housekeepers in getting the story out, in documenting the story. These weren't just random comments, but documented. But we need the right of public workers to collectively bargain.
And this is public workers, our firemen, our policemen,
it's all of our
public workers, our teachers, everybody. And Miriam, we need to let our listeners know, and Dick and Odessa, that we are one of only two states that have such a Jim Crow law that do not. We're not talking about unions, folks. We're talking about collective bargaining. And it's a big difference. And this is something that Virginia and North Carolina instituted as the civil rights movement was getting underway, and they got scared.
They got scared that workers
were going to have
together,
a few.
And I can tell you they probably were very scared, and rightly so, that workers would not only demand collective bargaining, but they would put themselves together collectively into a union.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we need. This is a right-to-work state.
It is.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's not right-to-work for less, we should say. So it's a right-to-work state, and Lori's right, one of two, only two states.
Only two states, Virginia and North Carolina, two southern states.
Right. Mm-hmm. Their public workers the right to collectively bargain.
The phrase that I like to use is the cheap labor state.
That's right. That's exactly what it is.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way, that's what they want to keep it. We're also fighting on a national level for something called the Employee Free Choice Act. And everybody, of course, is running scared election time.
Oh, is somebody here?
Ah.
I'll go look.
Okay. The issue of we want the collective bargaining right on the state level, but we want workers to be able to choose, you know, whether they want to join a union, and that's the Employee Free Choice Act. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of worker justice battles that we're fighting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give people again, because some people may have tuned in. I wanted to give, I'll find it, the... Lori, you keep talking, Dick. Desi, you keep talking. I wanted to find Holden Thorpe. Here it is.
Give them the information again.
Yes.
Oh, numbers, yeah.
I will. For one thing, we're broadcasting over WCOM FM, low power station, and you can, if you have any difficulty getting it in a static or things like that, you can always stream it live at WCOMFM.org. Please tell your friends, this is a wonderful volunteer-run radio station that we bring you uncensored the important news of what's going on, the news that the major media does not cover very well, if at all. And this is WILPF, WILPF, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And I just want to remind you, we are having a contest. Please call and let me know your suggestion for our new name. We were previously WILPF's Wake Up Call on Friday mornings, and now we just started last week on every Wednesday afternoon from 5 to 6 o'clock, an hour-long show, and we need a new name. I guess we can just always call it WILPF's Show, but I thought we could have something a little catchier than that. And
The prize.
My gosh, Dick, thank you. The prize will be 15 minutes of airtime that you can talk about whatever you want to talk about, your favorite issue, your favorite passion issue. You got 15 uncensored minutes to talk about it on this hour. And we would be delighted to have you on. So give us a call. This is Lori Hoyt, and my number is 919-968-1888.
And the WILPF website
is trianglewilpf.org, and Miriam Thompson's number
is
370-4114. So you can call either one of us, and also you can call us if you have a suggestion for a show. We have lots of ideas, and but we always love to hear your ideas. You're our listeners, and you're what keep us going, Dick.
I want to mention Internationalist Bookstore again.
Yes.
Just give them a quick
yes.
Internationalistbooks.org.
Bookstore.org. And the Internationalist Bookstore has been going for, 30 years now with volunteers also. And it's got the kind of political books and lefty books that you're not going to find in the big, big box bookstores. No, you are not. So keep the... And they also do have a few used books.
They have some interesting bumper stickers. You
know, yes, the best bumper stickers in town.
And we're proud to announce that we are making Odessa Davis an honorary member of WILPF.
Oh, yes, Odessa.
And remember the number. And remember the number of the chancellor, 962-1365,
yes.
Email Holden at unc.edu. Please keep those calls and emails flowing. And make sure you go on the website to find out about 10 to 10, and we'll have more information next week.
So, Jessica, you want to say goodbye to your sisters and your kids?
Goodbye.
Oh, by the way, people can get copies, Dick, of this broadcast if they want to share with friends and have Real Housekeeper support parties and join our justice campaign.
Okay, goodbye, everybody. See you next Wednesday, 5 o'clock. Thanks a lot.